Thanks for joining me on In Good Faith today. This is our Journey to Easter Holy Week series, starting with Palm Sunday and going all the way through that last week of the life of Jesus, culminating in Easter Sunday and the resurrection. I am so pleased to have with me Gay Strathern, who is an Associate Dean of Religious Education at BYU. Thank you for being here.
Oh, that's great. Thanks for having me.
When I think Easter, I think resurrection, but that word Easter, I think Easter bunnies or things like that that aren't necessarily, don't seem to do with the actual events of the New Testament. Would you tell me about that?
Sure. The word Easter is only found once in the New Testament in the King James Version of the Bible. And there it's a translation of the word Pascha. Just about everywhere else in the Bible, that word is translated as Passover. And so it can mean the Passover meal, it can mean the Passover sacrifice, the lamb, or it can mean the festival that kind of goes on into the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the use of it in Acts 12, verse 4, probably indicates the longer version of it because it includes the Feast of Unleavened Bread as well.
It's just become the traditional word we use in English, at least, for it.
So with Passover, I always think of sacrifice, the lamb, and certainly in John's gospel, that's a huge part of what John wants to tell us about Jesus, that he is the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. And that's in his gospel and in the book of Revelation. It's about the Passover. And so early on in Christianity, Pascha is probably referring to the crucifixion. Resurrection Sunday was the Lord's Day. That's how they're calling. And then over time, they've become elided together.
This is a culmination of a week of tragedy.
Yes.
That's fulfilling prophecy, but coming to triumph. And I wonder if you could set the stage for us about how the early disciples felt and then lead us into the events of that Sunday morning.
Really, the four Gospels talk about what happened. They just give us the things of Sunday morning, the women at the tomb, and each of the Gospels are a little bit different. John is significantly different. But Luke in particular is going to talk about how the women came to the tomb that morning. And for Luke, that's really important because this is the culmination of back in Luke 8, when Jesus is beginning what's called in Luke the travel narrative. Mm-hmm. So he's going to move from Galilee down to Jerusalem, knowing full well what was going to happen in Jerusalem. And in Luke 8, we have Jesus and his apostles, but also the women who went through with him. So Mary Magdalene, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, and many other women. And they're there at the cross, but they're also there at the tomb. They're bringing the spices there to embalm Jesus' body. As important as Jesus was for them, they're going to wait until after the Sabbath, until they come and look after his body. But John's gospel is very different because the women are there at the cross, but on Resurrection Sunday, it's just Mary Magdalene there. She goes, and she doesn't bring spices. So we got to wonder why she was there. And I think it's because of her great love for him and mourning for him. And when she or the women go and find that the stone has been rolled away and the tomb is empty, this is just
insult to injury.
Yes.
What a terrible thing. Yes. And now, of all things, that he's not only been killed, but they've taken him away.
Absolutely. But the angels are there to talk to them, and they say, go tell the brethren what is happening. And so they go and do it, whether it's Mary and John or the women in Luke, and the apostles just don't quite get it. They think it's idle women's tales. And I can understand that. Even though Jesus has been talking about the resurrection, especially in the last 6 months, except in Mark's gospel, he'll talk about it earlier than that. But he's been talking about it, but for me, they understand the words, but they're not understanding the implications of what's happening. And why wouldn't they? It's never happened before. But John tells us that Peter and probably John run to the tomb and they see that the tomb actually is empty and they go, oh, they got it right kind of thing.
John pauses to say he got there first.
Yes, he does. But then they leave. And I'm not sure why they leave, especially when Mary stayed. Why is she staying when Peter and John left? And I don't know the answer to that. But because she stayed, the magnificent experience that she had with the angels, but then even more significantly, as the Saviour appeared to her. And she didn't understand it either. She thought he was a gardener.
I just wonder, were her eyes clouded with tears, or was it just not, she would not expect?
I don't know. It's one of those questions I'm asking when I'm going to track her down when I get on the other side, right? But in Luke's gospel, the disciples onto the road to Emmaus didn't recognize him either. But there's something about Jesus calling Mary's name and says, "What seek ye?" And in John's gospel, that's absolutely wonderful, because John's gospel starts with the disciples of John the Baptist, Andrew and John, coming to Jesus, as John says to them, "Behold the Lamb of God," right? You follow him. And the question that Jesus asks of them is, "What seek ye?" And then at the other end of the story in John's gospel, to Mary, he asks the question, "What seek you?" It's the same question. And so that does a couple of things in John's gospel. Number one, it links Mary with the earliest disciples. They're in the same kind of continuum. And that question is what we'd call an inclusio. So if you start with an idea and you end with an idea, that tells you that everything in between is some way connected to this idea. And so for John's gospel, it's not about passive disciples. It's about people who actively seek for Jesus. Mm. And they're the ones that have the revelations about who he is as Son of God. So Mary is considered to be one of the disciples on a par with the other disciples.
She's the first witness.
She is. And so many of the early Christian church would call Mary Magdalene the apostle to the apostles, because the word apostle refers to the one who is sent. And I love her reaction, and I love the way that Jesus takes the time to teach her, that as she tries to embrace him, he pushes her off a little bit, because she's thinking that life is going to continue with Jesus now, is going to continue in the same fashion it was in mortality. And he's helping her to see, no, this is different. This is a different type of life where the will of the Father is my first priority. And I think that's beautiful.
When I think of worldwide Christendom and how it has grown, what it's come to from those few disciples.
Yes.
And they fled the crucifixion. Yeah. Peter sneaking along in the background even, just wanted to know what was happening. They became different people.
Yes.
Do you think it was because of that they saw him again and started to understand even more than they had who he was?
Oh, absolutely. In the early Christian church, the crucifixion and resurrection are inseparably tied together. You don't have one without the other. And that's why I love, as I said, in the Gospels, they say what happened. But it's in the epistles and things that we get a discussion of the theological significance of it. And I love particularly 1 Corinthians 15, and I'm going to translate it just a little bit differently. There's been some schisms in the church in Corinth, and the whole book is trying to address some of those. And one of the schisms is caused by resurrection, trying to understand what resurrection meant. Because for a Greek, resurrection is craziness. But he says to them in verse 3, "For I delivered unto you the most important things which I have received." And that word for delivered and received is kind of a formal handing on of something. And so what were the most important things that as Paul takes the gospel out to the world that he's teaching them? That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So the two things of atonement, and here he's using crucifixion for that, and resurrection, is this is the most important things that we can be teaching the world. of all of the things Jesus did and said, this is what's really important. And then he goes on to talk about the eyewitnesses, that even though the Gospels tell us about the women mm-hmm. and some of the disciples, he tells us over 500 people have witnessed the risen Christ, of whom I am one of those. This is important to him because of his experience of the resurrection. And then if we go to 14, he's trying to talk about those people who were just struggling with the idea of resurrection. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching empty, and your faith is empty. What's he been preaching? He's been preaching atonement and resurrection. And he's saying resurrection is so important that even Christ's atonement kind of falls by the way a little bit if we don't have a resurrection as the culmination of it.
Do you ever find that it's remarkable that number of Christians today are all accepting on faith? I'm including myself. Yes, I wish I had been one of those 500. What would that have been like? But I accept on faith that he did rise.
Yes.
And for me, it's because when I read the words, I feel that there's a spiritual witness to it. Would you talk to me about what that means to you and what that means to the world that there is a resurrection?
It means there's hope. So a number of years ago, I was in Jerusalem and my sister came to visit me and we were at the Garden Tomb and we were just thinking about the Resurrection Sunday and how wonderful it was that we had hope. And it was just a wonderful opportunity for two sisters to think of eternity together. Neither of us knew that within a few years she would pass away. And that 2 years to the day after that, her youngest daughter will also pass away. When that happened, I was devastated and I mourned very deeply. That's a natural reaction. But then with time, the idea of the resurrection comes in and the reminder of the teachings that Paul taught also, for as in Adam death came, so in Christ shall all be made alive. And I just love that, and that's how I cope with the loss, is the hope that comes because Christ died for us, then all of us have the chance to live again.
Even more meaningful the longer we live and the more people we know who have crossed to the other side.
Yes. Can I tell you about my best, most wonderful experience with Beth Resurrection? So again, when we were in Jerusalem and Resurrection Sunday, we got up very early in the morning before sunrise and we went down to the Garden Tomb and there was an interfaith service there. And I absolutely loved that, to be in that traditional spot and to be singing the songs of resurrection. And they have different songs to us, and there's more of foot tapping, and I like foot tapping with songs, right? But for me personally, it was what I felt the Spirit so strongly. And it reminded me when I first went to Jerusalem as I was just a tourist, just backpacking around the world, and I went to the Garden Tomb for the first time, and the missionary there, I remember him sitting us down and looking at the tomb and says, most people come here because they want to see the place where Jesus died and was buried. But I'm here to tell you that he is not here, for he is risen. And I can't tell you how strong the Spirit spoke to my soul. And that changed my life forever. I've been back many times. But that is a reminder, and sitting there with my sister and then sitting at her funeral, those were the things that helped me.
And those services, and I've been privileged to participate in some, are a beautiful tradition.
Yes.
And really build community with brothers and sisters. Gay Strathern, thank you so much for sharing not only the idea of the resurrection and the meaning, but some very personal remembrances about what it's meant, because that is what Jesus has done for each of us, is something on an individual basis as well as for the whole world.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
I hope you'll join us in person on Palm Sunday. That's April 13th, 2025 at the Marriott Center on the Brigham Young University campus for Journey to Easter, a concert featuring the Luke's Choral Society and Orchestra and Friends, as well as pastoral and academic reflections on Holy Week and Easter, including from our guest today, Dr. Gay Strathern, She is an Associate Dean of Religious Education here at BYU. You can learn about each of the days of Holy Week throughout the Christian world in our Journey to Easter Holy Week series on the In Good Faith podcast. Find that wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, YouTube. In Good Faith is a production of BYU Radio.